grated carrot in a bag, squeeze it to make it yellow and bunny. And she had, you know, those pats, fancy pats for Heidi. She still had them, and they were a strawberry with leaves and things like that. Were great. But I remember my mother saying that the grated carrot, when it had been in the cream and everything, was very good to eat.
I never heard of that, but that's a dye, a natto.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's the same thing.
Well, that's it, just to make it look a bit sort of less peely-welly on the...
Still at me, but I used to be fairly notorious for sort of the grease carriage wheels and the sheep.
What was it? Why was that?
Because it was, they were having to pay rent, so quality was not important.
Oh, I see.
So, it's said that it was used to grease the axle of Mons Meg.
Really? Where does that come from? I don't know. But that, I suppose you would be pretty fed up if you're having to produce all of that, and you would hardly be doing it bonny patterns.
I forget the word, but somewhere the some other one says, but it's a bucket full of butter. Well, that's a fair amount of work. They make a bucket full of butter.
Yeah, you'd be
building
up the hair,
wouldn't it? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how would they have kept that? I mean, would they have just sold that on someplace? I mean, if it's dear tax, I mean, butter doesn't keep forever.
Well, I don't really know. But if, but if you're paying for taxation, you're okay when it's fresh or rancid.
I suppose. Well, you know that big lump of butter they have in the museum that was in a bog or whatever? Bog butter.
There used to be a bit of that at Abbey, and lost it to her and getting in some flitting. Put my cloth and bury it in the pit.
Sandy found the top, but our whales. Whales that were used to keep butter cool.
Oh, right.
Transported.
Because you would need something, wouldn't you? I mean, like those, what do you call those houses that they built into the sides of Brays and things like that?
Yeah, they used to sleep in the one at Highbrew on the Stony Hill Road. Oh. So that one I know was
for... Oh, but that is for true.
I know it was for true. That's an idea.
Oh, right, an ice house.
Yeah.
And how did they manage that then? Where'd they get the ice?
Well, ice off the Stennis Law, since we had it all.
And it was
a big, it was big in the street one time.
Think of something like a miniature meso, and it was racks. No, if you keep ice, if the water can drain away for the ice will keep a long while. And anyway, it was literally underground, and it was tradesmen and Harry had paid them better to fish for trout and ship them off to London than work at the trade.
Right.
But this was the, well, took the ease of the Harry Law, I suppose.
And then there was
the
fish were tinned by geek, wasn't it, the strunks, and shipped away to Billingsgate.
Well, there you go.
That only came away when there was a train service.
Some writer complaining bitterly about it because the lochs were being so mistreated, all those fish being taken
out of it. Goodness me, so they would have put that away, did they put it away in the boat and then onto a train?
I have too many books here.
Oh, you have a lot of information, Peter, that's for sure. But I don't suppose everybody would have had an ice house. It would have just been...
Oh, very unusual.
Very unusual, I would think, yeah.
Highbrew's the big two-story house on Stony Hill Road. It was the head house of the ice beaster, I'm told, on the time.
Ah, right. Right. It's a nice picture of Happy House anyway, isn't it? It's lovely. It's
Peter Anderson. Mm-hmm. Stuart Earls.
I can't help it.
Oh, don't worry about it. We can talk about that another time. I'll just...
No, don't see.
Switch that off.
Just oh, yes, I can get rid of that before we do.
Oh, yes, yes, the horse or mule license.
Anyway, what I was looking for, it's a reference that the Orkney trout was a distinct species.
Oh.
It's had its own name.
According to Eric Link, down in that piece he wrote for the Patterson fundraising magazine, it said, pound for pound, there's no better fighter in the world than a Harry Trout, than the soul of reckless poets and something or other. He goes on, it's a very, very entertaining piece that he wrote in reply to Hugh Marwick, who'd apparently written something about the joys of fishing for civics.
Oh, right. Excellent.
Something here, I wonder if somebody here can help me. I'm going to be doing this talk on Reynolds and St. Innocent Rolls Chapel, and Maria, the doctor, and I were looking at, you know, because he did stuff for other places and so on, and Bishop's Crozier for Connecticut and so on. And there's this gavel we're puzzled about that we thought had to go into the council offices. It's got the coat of arms there, and the little couch figure on the end that's either the, I think, the cathedral. And Maria has spotted, I think, saying that it was actually presented to the Norwegian Archaeological Society in Oslo.
Oh, right.
In 1966.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an oak gavel, and said it's where the handle joins the haft. There's a whole big, the, I think it is the Kirkwall coat of arms or whatever. And then on the end of the gavel, then the, there's the little imp or whatever, a good thing for the cathedral.
It's right.
Oh, right. And... Mm-hmm. We would be there to know where it was and get to get a picture of it from the talk.
Right, yeah, but leave that with me and I'll see what I can
Thank
do.
You.
Uh-huh. Because we've actually just been working on a project with the museum in Oslo.
Yes, it was just it seems such an odd thing to go to an archaeological society for them to get
yeah.
It is
oh somebody else thought that was a good idea at the time lately. You know.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes you wonder, so you do wonder. Mm-hmm. No, but I'll get on the case for that. I'm away the next 2 days, but I'll be back after that.
The talk's in April.
All right, that gives me a bit of time to...